Hey, everybody, it's Adam Ray for the About Last Night podcast. Hope you had a good weekend. Happy Monday. That's right, baby. Monday, beginning of the week. Again, here we go. It was a good weekend. Hope you guys had a good one. Pumped to be back in the swing of things. Took a little quick day-night trip to the University of Wyoming with Adam Devine. We did the college out there on Saturday. Came back yesterday. And then I did a show with Jeff Garland at Flappers in Burbank. Jeff Garland does a show there every Sunday. And he has somebody do about 20, 25 in front of him. And then he does an hour. Excuse me. And he improvises the whole thing. He improvises the whole hour. It's insane. Jeff Garland is not only one of the nicest guys and one of the funniest. Curb is my favorite show. To even be friends with him now is fucking crazy. But he is so brilliant on stage. And I was harping on him to make a special out of a completely improvised show. And I think I nudged him in the right direction. So, but a brilliant, brilliant guy. And, you know, as much as it was tiring to just hurry back and go straight from the airport, because, you know, we flew into Denver and then we drove 2.5 hours to Laramie, Wyoming, did the show, partied all night with Laramie kids, or as they call it, Laradice. It was crazy. We were up to about 4 or 5 and then we drove the next morning about 10 back to Denver, flew out, came back to L.A., did the show. Now here we are. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. Wherever you guys get it, iTunes, Android, Stitcher, aboutlastnightpodcast.com. Subscribe and rate it and comment on the iTunes page. We appreciate that love and support. It takes 2 seconds while you're listening to the intro right now. Click on that 5th star on iTunes. Type a little comment in. Helps us climb the charts. So many great episodes coming your way. Next week is Jason Derulo, R&B superstar. Get familiar with his tunes and him so you can really enjoy the hell out of that episode. It's going to be featured on iTunes, which will be great. Jason Derulo, that'll be followed by Wayne Brady. That'll be followed, I'm not going to say after that because I want to keep some surprise. But that's a pretty good back-to-back week coming up. And so many more great episodes on the horizon, so make sure you are subscribed so you can enjoy them all. Speaking of great episodes, today's episode is a very special episode because, you know, we have a lot of actors, comedians, musicians on, and now just fascinating people. And today's guest was my boss when I was a tour guide at Universal Studios Hollywood, my first job in L.A. I was a sophomore in college, became buds, have not, like, seen each other or hung out a lot in the last 13 years, but have both kind of just been, a very solid, like, follow-on Facebook relationship. You know what I'm saying? Which is good. Where and he's come out to a couple of stand-up shows, and we've had a great catch-up then. But just one of those dudes that you're like, you're a great dude. You're so sweet and supportive. And anytime I see you or talk to you, it's going to feel like no time has passed. He is responsible for bringing back the Match Game with Alec Baldwin. He's been producing Let's Make a Deal for the last 8 years, running that show with Wayne Brady. Which is how we're getting Wayne Brady on the podcast. Downfall with Chris Jericho was his show with his partner, Graham, who is also a boss of mine at Universal Studios. He's just a great dude and hilarious. He brought it today on the podcast. I'm talking about the one and only Chris Ahern, baby. That's right. Or as Brad says, Chris Ahern in the first 2 seconds. Man, we get into so much. If you love game shows, this is really going to be a fun episode for you. And who doesn't, by the way? If you're listening to that and going, well, I don't like game shows. Well, fucking, what's wrong with you? Everybody does. How Chris got into game shows, how he got to L.A., his story with Graham and how they came into game show success is fucking bananas. It's a great story, a lot of laughs in this one, and I'm just so glad that we were able to get him in here and have such a fun time with somebody that I hadn't really kicked it with in a while. But as you listen to the episode, it's like no time has passed. So enjoy this episode. Follow Chris on Facebook. I don't think he has a Twitter, but you can hit him up on Facebook. Tell him how much you loved the episode. Follow me on Twitter at Adam Ray Comedy, at Funny Brad, at Ailen Podcast on Instagram, Adam Ray 33 on Instagram, Brad Williams Comic on Instagram, astorymerchandise.com for all your Ailen merch needs. Shirts, mugs, posters, hats. Come on, get them. Bring them to the shows. We always love when you guys bring them out. We sign them for you, take pictures. It's just an extra level of love and support that we appreciate. Speaking of live shows, you can bring all your merch to See Brad Williams this weekend in Ontario, California, September 16th and the 17th. Brad Williams headlining the Ontario Improv, 16th and 17th of September. Get your tickets at improv.com. And then Brad on the 19th and the 20th. September 19th, Brad will be at the Looney Bin in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And on the 20th, he'll be at the Looney Bin in Oklahoma City. Get your tickets at looneybin.com. Adam Ray, where am I going to be? I got a lot of tour dates coming up, mostly in town for a little bit. I will be on at midnight on Wednesday, so set your DVRs for that. All new Mad TV airs tomorrow. Two more episodes in the season. CW, 9, 8 Central, tomorrow Mad TV at midnight, Wednesday, midnight. Oh, no, 11:30, Wednesday, Comedy Central. A lot of in-town shows. Check my schedule, adamraytv.com, for all my dates. I have to apologize. I've had to cancel some tour dates because of the Joey McIntyre show that I'm on. I had to cancel Webster, New York, the comedy club out there. I had to cancel the Punchline in Sacramento and Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle in Royal Oak, Michigan. And I was not happy about it, trust me. I was really pumped to hit the road again, and it's going to delay my tour until about early October, which is a bummer, because I was really pumped to do those shows. I love the Comedy Castle, the Punchline. It's going to be my first time in Webster, New York. So I'm going to make it up to you guys. I will be out there soon. And also, if you bought tickets to the show, I feel bad. People have been messaging me saying they had tickets and they were pumped because I'm not coming. Send me a message with proof of your ticket, and I'll send you some Adam Ray goodies. All right, some podcast stuff, maybe a signed copy of The Heat, whatever. Whatever you want. I don't know. What do you want? Do you even want any of that? Maybe you don't. Maybe I'm assuming that's something you would be interested in. But I feel bad, and I want to make it up to you. And let me know, okay? So shoot me a message with proof of ticket, and we'll figure that out. Like I said, all new Mad TV tomorrow, 9, 8 Central on the CW. I'm on at midnight, 11:30 on Wednesday on Comedy Central. So many more great episodes of the pod coming up. If you haven't listened to the Mo Collins episode, I highly recommend you go back and listen to that one, as well as the episodes that preceded that. And then stay subscribed, of course, so you can get Jason Derulo and Wayne Brady coming up in the next few weeks. Now that we got the tour dates out of the way, that's the merch info. Those are the Twitter handles. All new Mad TV tomorrow night. And now sit back, relax, and enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with our buddy, Chris Ahern.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and listen to our dope podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here. So come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night.
That is the sound of Chris Ahern masticating.
Now, is it Ahern or Ahern?
Ahern.
Ahern.
Wow, Brad.
Ah. You know what?
Fuck. Okay. Good night, everybody.
That's how we start.
I'm gonna give
me a chicken sandwich.
I'm going to come back a little later. But you know what? I think that makes up for it. That,
right.
And you get to have the story of a midget once gave me a chicken sandwich, and I don't know too many people that are going to believe that.
With no tomatoes, which is how I would have ordered it.
Yeah, because tomatoes are the devil, and anyone who eats tomatoes on a sandwich, just no friend of mine.
It's a vegetable. What is it?
What is it? You know what? It's shit. That's what it is, Chris.
All right, you guys are really, I'm drawing a line in the sand.
Over tomatoes?
Well, because tomatoes, to me, I also think of ketchup.
And that's a product.
No one's going against ketchup. That's like,
well, you kind of are.
That's like going against Beyonce.
My dad will cut a tomato in half and sprinkle salt on it and eat it as, you know, a meal.
I like your dad's style.
It's awful. You don't.
It's horrible.
No, you don't.
That's
disagree.
Just,
can you make a game show out of that?
Circle hits the square.
I mean, can Trump throw him out instead? Or like, can Trump throw people that like tomatoes out instead? I mean,
there's a list, though.
Yeah, because I really like Mexicans, and I'm not ready for them to leave the country yet.
And you're a fan of their food?
Very, very much so.
Salsa. I mean, salsa. No one's throwing out salsa.
Would we
not
lose, throwing out salsa.
Now, here's a
not
question.
Throwing out prosciutto.
Would we lose salsa if we lost the Mexicans?
Prosciutto?
Bruschetta? That one.
Oh, my God. Welcome.
God damn it.
I mean, welcome back to what? What did you say? Welcome back to what did you think that food? How did you think to pronounce that? That's why you're the game show guy.
He said prosciutto.
Yeah. Well, and also until about 2 years ago, I thought the meat was promoscuto.
Good God, Brad.
That's prosciutto.
See, I didn't know that till 2 years ago, and I was at a deli with a bunch of friends. I was like, "Yeah, and I'll get the promoscuto sandwich," and everyone looked at me like, "What the fuck?"
What city was this? Because they might have kicked you.
San Francisco.
Oh, there.
So
fine.
I mean, so some of them got
they
mad
don't know
at me.
Either.
Some got mad at me. Some were like, "Wait, is that the new way to pronounce yeah. it? Is he just
this
being
guy's
hip?
Super fancy?"
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm from the Bay Area, so I can say that
you are.
Okay.
Yeah.
What part?
What. I say San Jose, because
okay.
that's the biggest city.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But Santa Clara is where I'm from. But
yeah.
people know Santa Clara because of the Niners.
Right, the Santa Clara 49ers.
Yeah,
the
right, right.
popular football team
I mean,
that's
like,
playing there now.
Is that?
Right, well...
It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense.
No, it's because...
It's like
it's
two people talking
way.
Bad about ketchup on a podcast in the first 5 minutes. It doesn't add up.
I've never liked you.
Yeah. That's like how the... Angels are the trying to be the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, and it's like
right?
you're 30 miles out of Los Angeles. You
it's
can't,
ridiculous.
And Santa Clara is what 40 miles out of San Francisco proper.
Yeah, it's about 45 minutes south of San Francisco,
yeah.
basically.
With
so yeah,
no traffic.
Right,
with yeah. traffic, it's yeah. pack a lunch.
But you know that the Super Bowl was there is like the biggest thing that's ever happened to Santa Clara.
Yeah.
yeah,
so that was huge. So now people know where Santa Clara is. But I still say San Jose because it's my Sharks. That's my hockey team.
Oh, big hockey guy.
Yeah, I saw several Facebook posts with you in a Sharks jersey.
Love my Sharks.
All I got to say is quack, quack, motherfucker.
Oh, what? Are you a Ducks fan?
Since year one.
Well, I'm year one Sharks. Sharks are only 25 years old.
Yeah,
so,
that's true.
When I was five.
Wow. Who is your first?
No one blinked at that, really? Nobody?
What?
No one blinked that since I was five?
You don't. Yeah, with bald guys, you don't know. Bald guys can be 70. They can be 27. You don't know.
It's
flexible.
That's why I keep it that way.
Yeah.
yeah.
Right. Uh-huh. See, that's why I'm always fascinated. I'm fascinated whenever I see guys that are balding, but they're just holding on to
yeah.
it. They're just like, I'm going to do whatever it takes. I'm going to comb this over. I'm going to grow this out. I'm going to give up.
Nope.
Shave it.
Yep.
You'll look cooler.
I think Adam knew me with hair.
I did. Can I be honest? I like bald Chris. Also, the goatee you didn't have before. So
oh,
I think
yeah,
it's like
yeah.
we lost one, but we gained a new friend.
<We sure did.
laughs> And the goatee is the beard. It's like it's well-groomed. Sometimes you can go. Yeah. Well, I was going to say, sometimes, you know, you can go just goatee, or if you'd come in with just the chops and like maybe the stash, I would have been like, okay, midlife crisis. But like you have the whole team is there.
The first time I had someone do it, the Art of Shaving, right? So they like sculpted it.
Oh, yeah.
And
oh,
I nice. Looked like a Disney villain the first time they did it because it was so severe.
Yeah.
Like I looked like Jafar or something.
That's what I'm learning too. You got to leave a little bit of stubble above, like a real clean line is almost sometimes you're like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it was a bit much. But, I'm trying to think when
we met.
Yeah.
Well, I started working at Universal Studios as a tour guide, which was my first job in LA. First job in the business, really. First yeah. real, I mean, you know, and being around people that were in it and doing it. And I let's see, 2003, the summer of 2003.
My God,
I was a sophomore
2003?
In college. Yeah.
So 13 years ago.
Yeah.
So I would have been 25. So I probably started shaving, 26. I started shaving my hair probably right after you left.
Yeah.
Because you weren't there that long. You were there like a year maybe?
No. Well, I was a tour guide for...
Come on, let's be honest. So you might have been on the roster.
Yeah, well,
but
yeah.
you were probably...
Well, for the tour guiding, when I was Wolverine, I was full time. I mean, I was like
four
or five.
I forgot you did all that.
Yeah.
I forgot you moved.
Well, because it's such. There's so many quadrants
sorry,
of the
park. No,
well, Brad's
fine.
A Disney guy. He
yeah.
worked at Disney.
Oh, yeah. I'm in the theme park world, yeah. but we don't have like a tour guide. So is going from. But the Universal tour guide is pretty. That seems like the.
It's the creme de la creme.
That seems like the shit. Like that. Like that seems like the job. So when Adam goes down to Wolverine, is that like a step below? Is that a
I
demotion?
Think so.
No,
well,
I don't think
not
so.
Not in money
because it was this weird thing at Universal, right? Between like tour guides and entertainment, they were two different departments.
Entertainment was like the face characters and the shows.
Okay,
yeah. And so being a tour guide, I think that's the face of Universal Studios because everyone knows the tour and it was built off the tour.
There's only one.
Exactly,
yeah.
But. Being in the entertainment department, I think they made more money.
Yeah.
I think you did less.
Yeah.
Oh, so,
1,000%.
I think there was a little bit of envy.
I ran over more kids' feet on ATVs than I did as a tour guide.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You had to drive an ATV too?
Yeah. You in a parade. And I ran over a kid's foot and didn't know what to say, so I said nothing and then drove away. So I ran over his foot, stared him down, and drove off. And he will never forget that.
And he hates Wolverine to this day.
Yeah. He's in therapy.
Anything Hugh Jackman he hates.
Yeah.
Kate and Leopold, he will not see it. 2003, that was a rigorous job. I want to know from your perspective, first of all, and Brad can ask these questions, or I can ask them. But I want to know, like, when that was your, why did you, you were, I mean, high up boss at that position.
I guess. Yeah. I mean, I, you know.
Because there was three, you, Randall, and Mike.
Yeah.
That basically ran the tour guide program. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you're, you know, you would think that maybe, oh, these guys just make sure that we don't curse and fuck it up. But it's like, that was a, I was living in a frat at the time, and I had to memorize for 3 weeks, like, a giant notebook of movie facts.
It was a huge binder.
Huge binder.
Like 300 pages.
Oh, my God. Brad, you know you've been on a tour or a tram, and it'll maybe in the summertime it gets backed up, and there's a lot of stalling, right? There's like, you're waiting for earthquake, and there's like five trams. You have to have all this stall material. You have to know so much. And, you know,
and then
I would,
you got to know all the questions that the stupid customers are going to ask. Like,
yes.
Well, so when they reshot Psycho here, Vince Vaughn, what shoes was he wearing? And you're like, no. Crocs. I don't give a shit.
Yeah,
like,
no one cares.
Yeah, like,
but you have to care because you're wearing that name tag that says your favorite movie on it. And tour guide, they think you know everything.
I almost wore it for you tonight. I almost did. I still have it. It's on a like a stuffed animal or something.
That's
that
amazing.
Somebody
I wish I still had.
I still have my Disney name tag.
Do you?
Hell yeah.
So we had our favorite movies on them, and not really my favorite movie, but
yeah,
favorite Universal
them.
Film that looked good with your name.
Yeah, sure.
Mine was Chris Out of Sight.
I like
George
that.
Clooney, Jennifer Lopez.
Yeah, great
that,
movie.
I mean,
it was a great movie.
Yeah,
yeah.
Underrated.
That sounds like a Chris. Like, if you were to ever go into pro wrestling, Chris Out of Sight.
I almost
that's
did.
A pretty good one.
I almost became a producer for the WWE.
No shit.
Oh. Yeah. I'm a very well-rounded gay. and like, we can talk about a lot of
yes,
subjects.
We will.
But WWE, I was big into WWE in the 90s. So
yeah,
Stone
yeah.
Cold and The Rock.
Who
and,
wasn't?
Like, I was obsessed, and mostly because it's a soap opera. That's all
yeah.
it is.
It's
just
a soap opera
for
men.
With violence.
Yeah.
And I grew up watching soaps with my mom, so I was totally into soap.
Sure.
And I was into the big, you know, guys hitting each other. Yeah. So,
and you know, and Spanx
yeah.
and oil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
all good.
They came to the park one day for a tour, and I was their VIP guide. And so I showed them around the park. And I got to tell you, I love these guys. I don't know how, if you've ever met pro wrestlers.
I met
them
one.
They're the bunch. Best group of people.
Yeah.
They're so, it's like a traveling circus.
Yeah.
So they're family, and they get along so well, and they're super nice. Anyway, so I said to them, you know, I'd love to, you know, have a job as a writer.
Yeah.
They call them writers on their
sure.
shows.
You know, story so, producers.
Yeah, yeah. I'd love to do that. And so one of them, you know, gave me their cards, and I said, here, you know, call them and do this, whatever. So I did. Nothing came of it. And then like 6 months later, I come home in the days of answering machines, and I see a message on my machine. I press it, and it's this woman who says, hi, I'm, you know, so-and-so, and I'm calling from Stephanie McMahon's office. And I was like,
what?
Holy crap.
Yeah.
Of like, Jim McMahon?
No, of
Vince's,
McMahon.
Vince's
who's Jim
daughter.
McMahon? Jim McMahon.
Jim McMahon was the quarterback
cousin.
From the Bears.
All right.
And,
who's Ed McMahon?
Dead.
You are wrong, sir.
By the way, there's a new game show. Which McMahon?
It's a good one episoder.
Oh, that was the whole show right there.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. There's only three McMahons.
We just played it.
But you know, I literally was like, oh my God, Stephanie McMahon. Cause, and now she runs it. Like her and her brother,
Shane,
they run it together.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a big deal to hear that. So I actually wrote three promos is what they call them. I wrote three promos for wrestlers. One was The Undertaker. I forget the second one. And one was for... At the time, he wasn't going by John Cena, but it was John Cena. He had another name at the time, like Terminator or Iceman or something.
Look
it up. But I wrote a promo for him because I was like, this guy, I know this guy's going to be a star. Like,
yeah.
I can just sense it. And so I wrote one for him, and he wasn't in the WWE at the time. But I wrote it, and they said, no, thank you. they really wanted, at the time, they wanted writers that could also produce, and I had no TV experience at the time, so
mm-hmm.
I didn't get the gig, but throughout, like, my career, I've worked with pro wrestlers in
That's
odd
awesome.
Ways. Chris Jericho was the host of one of our shows.
Yeah, he was.
Downfall.
Yeah. And
great show.
And was
we created it at Universal.
Were you looking to hire a wrestler specifically, or were you just for the show Downfall? And for those of you who don't remember, Downfall was the show which had the world's largest conveyor belt.
Yeah.
And if you got and you were up high on a building or something.
Yeah, we were in downtown LA. Yeah.
Yeah. And then if you got questions wrong or you couldn't answer them, the conveyor belt would move and your prizes were on the conveyor belt.
Yeah.
So you would literally watch your prizes fall down the floor
yeah.
and
I loved it.
Yeah.
Thanks.
It was suspenseful. It was fun. It was super different.
Why didn't America like it?
Yeah.
I don't, you know, at the time, look, if you looked at the ratings
Don't blame Jericho.
Yeah, no. Okay. If you look at the ratings we had then, and we had those ratings now, we'd be on Five Nights a Week. Like, it was just, you know, it's all about the timing. But
you came up with that show at Universal, you said.
Yeah. We actually, so Graham and I, Graham's my producing partner, we're tour guides at Universal, and we met there. And we started creating shows there. And one of the shows we created was Downfall. And at the time, it was just an in-studio show with people on conveyor belts that were kind of going up at an angle.
Mm-hmm.
And if you fell off the belt, you were done.
Okay, so then like what? You fall into a...
A
foam pit or spikes?
Exactly.
Okay.
or a pit of laughing dwarves?
Yeah. Ooh. I like it. I like it.
So...
Everyone answered the questions wrong on purpose, but yeah.
At our company, right, we were having this thing. We had to pitch a show, and so we were like, oh, you know, maybe Downfall would work. Let's kind of dust it off, but let's make it bigger.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so we thought, well, we'll just put it on the top of a building in downtown L.A., and we'll put prizes on it instead and throw it over. Nobody will buy this. So,
but you're heightening. You're like, this is going to make it bigger. And,
but yeah, we were just like, hey, here it is.
Yeah.
Here's our idea.
Yeah.
And sure enough, man, we had like two different networks bid on it, and it ended up going to ABC, and it was a lot of fun to do. It was really different. It was one of those jobs that like you woke up at 6 p.m. That's probably similar to your job.
Somewhat.
Yeah. But, like you woke up at 6 p.m. We went to work at like 7. We taped until the sun started to come up.
And then when the sun came
up is when the shoot ended.
You needed it to be at night.
Because we needed it to be at night.
Yeah.
So we shot until the sun came up, and then we'd go home. And you would go home the same time, like, these guys in, like, huge trucks with, like, fish were, like, coming in.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was this weird kind of...
crossover. Yeah. Like, all right, your turn to make the world work.
Yeah. But it was super fun. And Jericho came about because I was just a fan. Like, I think I pushed him on that show from day one of selling it. And I said, this is a huge show.
How could you not? He is the Ayatollah of rock and roll. Yeah.
Oh, my God. I want to isolate that soundbite.
He
from you saying it and you agreeing.
Oh, yeah. No, I can go off Chris Jericho. Nicknames, movesets, the whole nine yards. Yeah. He is the very first ever undisputed heavyweight champion. Yeah. So, come on.
Wow. Absolutely.
And so you thought to yourself...
He created Money in the Bank.
Yeah. We need a host that... is worthy of how big the show is.
Exactly. Because we're on the top of a building. We've got this huge conveyor belt. We're pushing cars over the side of a building, crashing down onto the ground below.
You can't get Mario Lopez or Bergeron.
No.
Not better than Jericho. How dare you?
So I said, we have to have someone that's big, like that has a big personality. And so I've always been a fan of WWE. And I was like, you know, they've got this guy, Chris Jericho. I'm like, I know he can talk because he's great on the mic. And I said, he's got the right personality for it. So let's bring him in.
Right look, too.
Yeah. And we brought him in and he auditioned. And, you know, he was one of a few people. And that was the one I kind of kept pushing for him. And I think...
How much push do you get to have?
At that point, not a lot.
Because it's your first... You guys had sold some other ones, right?
Yeah, it was. But this was the first original show that we had sold.
Yeah.
And it was the first show, the original game, I think the company had sold in umpteen years.
Wow.
And
so you don't have a lot of cachet at that point to be like...
No, not at all.
You can keep trying to make suggestions and different angles to be like, this is why, but there's other cooks in the kitchen that are going to...
Absolutely. And... but they all kind of agreed and liked it. Chris is such a likable guy. Yeah. He's so great.
Of course, he's Canadian.
Yeah. And and we had him on, and he was great.
Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada. Yeah. I know way too much about Chris Jericho. Yeah,
all right.
This is
not a Jericho fan podcast.
I want to be on his podcast, Talk is Jericho. That's why I'm trying to do this.
Yeah.
This is just a goal.
Wait a minute.
We're just stepping stone to Talk is Jericho.
Wait a minute. Doesn't he do a podcast?
That's what it's called.
I just said that. Talk is Jericho.
My buddy Nick Mundy is like, I think, really good buds with him, or I see him in pictures with him all the time, or he's been on it.
Yeah.
I could probably get him on here.
Fuck yes!
Okay, all right.
Well, invite me back for that.
Yeah. 1,000%.
But good reunion.
Yeah, he, nicest guy. And then, so after he did Downfall, he actually got, I think, a few other things from that. And he was on Dancing with the Stars not too long after that. And, and he hosted, I think he hosted like Battle Bots for a season.
Mm-hmm. So especially with those, like with pro wrestlers, is there, while they do want to keep wrestling, they kind of want to, as they get older, they kind of want to find those side jobs
right.
where they don't have to keep falling off ladders at age 40, whatever.
And
so,
a lot of them are so great. They're such talented guys, and they're really improv guys. That's what they are.
That's what they're doing constantly. Yeah. So it makes complete sense. I don't know why more. Like, I'm always surprised when people are surprised that A, wrestlers are good actors, and B, comedians are good actors.
Yeah.
I'm shocked by that. I'm like, really? The guy that's improvising an entire match and created a character from nothing, you're surprised he's a good actor? You're surprised a stand-up comic is good when he's doing how many characters on stage at one time?
Yeah.
It's always fascinating to me.
Yeah.
One thing I love about the Downfall show was that when the prizes inevitably crashed, like on other game shows, the prizes are separate. Yeah. Like they're not tangible yet.
Yeah.
Like the contestant doesn't see them, doesn't feel like, but when you see the car that you're going to win go off the edge and smash 1,000 pieces, that does something.
Makes
to
it more real.
Yeah.
Stakes are higher.
It was crazy though, because we got it from both sides on that show. So when it aired, we got flack from fans that, you know, was like, why are you doing this? Why are you sending perfectly good things over the side of the building?
And what's your rebuttal?
People can use that. Well, the truth of the matter is we didn't. Like, the car we used was like a shell of a car. It wasn't the car they were going to win.
Yeah,
it was like, you know, that was a representation of the car they were going to win.
Right.
And, you know, other stuff, it was, you know, we had silly prizes on that show. It was like a year's worth of bubble gum. And, you know, it was like...
Now,
we,
are you coming up with those prizes?
I think we did at the time. Like, on that, when you start the first season of a show, you kind of do everything. Right? You kind of put your hand in like every
and
pot.
It's better that way, right? Or do you get to a point where you're like with Match Game, I mean, it was, and we'll get into that, but I mean, like when you kind of get everything, you can step back at some point, or?
Yeah, I think there's, it depends on the show, right? Because like, Let's Make a Deal now, we've been doing for 8 years, and we've done over 1,300 episodes of that show.
8 years.
Oh my God.
8 years.
Holy
We're just about
shit.
To wrap our... You guys are going to come to our finale. Of
That's
our
the finale?
Yeah, you're coming to the last episode.
Oh, so should we break champagne?
Yeah, we should.
It's actually...
Pop
I think
some
it's,
bottles?
It's a foodie episode that we're taping. It's a foodie-themed episode.
Oh, man. Brad and I dressing up as... I mean, and ketchup. I'm really
so
bummed.
That's a common costume. Please come up with something different.
Okay.
Wow. Jesus.
Mayonnaise and ketchup. Not just ketchup and mustard. Mayonnaise and ketchup.
Like a pig in a blanket. You know, that's
oh
something
my
good.
God. Yes.
Okay. Okay.
I won't say who's who. You guys decide.
I think.
You know.
Norman.
Yeah. That's
right. Norm.
Social media guy.
Well, what are some of the craziest costumes you've seen? 1,300 episodes.
It's so hard.
Can somebody ever just come dressed as like a clit? Like, does that ever happen? And you're just like, you can't do that. Like, is there ever something like, because you don't pre-approve, right? They show up.
No, they show up, but they go through an interview process.
A screening
first.
Process? Do they come through security in their like hot dog outfit and they have to take their keys out of their
Some of them
wiener?
Do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, because I mean, you go to these Halloween shops that pop up around this time, and some of the costumes are like the Dick in the Box guys from SNL. So like when they show up, do you guys go, you guys aren't going
to
be playing.
It's 11 a.m.
I like to think people are smarter than that. Like, they know we're on CBS daytime.
Sure.
This isn't a late night show.
Sure.
So they know that their odds are better if they come in a costume that, you know, can get them on TV.
Right.
If you're dressed as a nun and not a dildo, you might win a prize.
It might be better for you. But no, craziest is, that's hard. It's a hard one. Like, I was telling you before we started, someone just came dressed as me for the first time.
That's incredible, like, by the way.
Yeah, I know. It's
What
surreal.
Was your reaction? I mean, did you know it was you right away?
We look at, before the show starts, we've got like, each contestant takes a picture, like in the contestant area.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And so we're looking at the photos of who is going to come up in the show. And I see this photo and instantly I was just like, and it was a woman, but I was like, she's dressed as me. Like, I knew it like right off. Like, she had the headset, she had the cue cards, she had, it was so detailed. She had my mic pack with two pieces of white tape on it, just like mine has two pieces of white tape. I didn't even know mine had two pieces of white tape on it until...
You weren't aware of the staple Chris Ahern wardrobe.
Yeah. And so now there is one, I guess. She didn't wear a bald cap, though. That was the one thing that was missing.
See, I think that's the one thing that gives it away.
Yeah.
Well, now someone else can, you know, elevate it.
There you go.
But she had cue cards. Like, Wayne calls me... he has a nickname for me on the show, and he calls me the Money Fairy. I run in cash him sometimes when he forgets it. So he has this nickname.
So much better that you're gay and he has that name. So bad. That's so awesome.
So her cue card said Money Fairy in Training. Yeah, and so it was,
that's really, I mean, I don't know if you get choked up, but is that like, that's kind of a pretty cool moment.
It was a pretty cool moment for like, you know, there's, you know.
To be dressed, I don't know, for me, if once you are a Halloween costume or somebody goes as you for any sort of, that's like, that's, you've, you know, that's a big deal. You've made it in a sense.
But, you know, I was telling you guys, like, it's, you have to be a hardcore fan to know who I am on that show.
Sure.
You can't just, like, tune in on a Wednesday and know, oh, right, yeah, there's Chris. But clearly she watched a lot, and it was pretty crazy.
Isn't
some guy
amazing?
Threatened to dress up as me once.
Threatened? Well, like, if you're not careful, I'm going to come dress as the producer and just fuck up your whole day.
I do the warm-up for the show before the show starts.
Oh, nice.
So, so you get to see that. And
that's incredible.
Yeah, and that's one of the most thankless jobs in show business.
Right?
The audience warm-up guy.
Yeah.
It's, like, for anyone that does it, we've had Brody Stevens on the podcast, who's a legendary audience warm-up guy. Both Adam and I have done it in our past, and it's so difficult.
Wait, are you... The warm up before the, are you the audience warm guy or are you the,
basically, like, I don't do standard warm up, like, I'm not out there really telling jokes.
Yes.
I'm basically telling them the rules of the show and how it works, and,
but in a
and,
fun way.
But in a fun way.
Yeah,
I've got my universal jokes that I throw in.
You can't just walk out like Ben Stein, like, here are the rules. Yeah. Like, you can't do that.
Well, that would be funny.
I mean,
I would probably laugh at that.
If you can do a Ben Stein costume, that'd be great.
But Bueller. So sometimes we've got extra time and I do questions with the audience, that kind of stuff, and someone asked what the craziest costume was, and one guy in the back, you know, yelled out, he's like, I was going to dress as you. And I said, I was like, well, what is that? I said, I don't even know what that would be. And he was like, well, I was going to wear a headset and bring cue cards, and I was going to wear a bald cap. So he would have gone all out. So there's still someone out there that can
if you're listening,
come to deal.
Take that to the next level.
Season 9, now, show up.
Now, like, the thing about being a producer of game shows is I know how to become an actor. I know how to become a comedian. I don't know how to become a game show producer. Like, that's... That you guys don't have a booth on career day in high school.
Yeah.
I mean, so, like, how do you even get into that business?
We had no clue either. Like, I mean, there isn't, right? There's really no roadmap for anyone in this business. It's
right.
Yes, as actors, you kind
of
know what
to do. I dreamed of being a best boy grip.
Right.
It was always, my dad was a best boy grip. His father before him.
The lineage, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
No, for us, and this is a long story, I'll try to condense it.
No.
But... You're like, no.
This is what we're here for.
But so it started at Universal. Like,
I want to know when you met Graham,
right?
And you didn't know him prior to that.
No, we met at Universal.
Okay, and so when does the bonding of game shows come about? I guess, and then you right? I mean, that's
it happened in the break room. Like, it was had hours sometimes between tours to just sit around and talk, and
which
watch
was kind
TV.
Of incredible. Like, definitely a part of the job. I don't want to say like essential, but like. You know, I think in any business, too, if you're good at schmoozing and shooting the shit, it helps your performance on all fronts because it loosens you up. It makes you you just gain so much from it.
Absolutely.
And that break room, you know, we do 4 or 5 hour tours a day. But there's, I mean, you would be up, what, every...
I mean, the tour itself was like 45 minutes.
Yeah.
And then you'd usually have maybe a 45-minute break.
Maybe a 45-minute break. So, Brad, you're going back to this break room.
Yeah.
And there's 15, 20, 25 on a real busy summer day, maybe.
That all want to talk about.
That all want to talk about the entertainment. And it's kind of awesome. And then there's movies on in the break room. And you talk about the movies on, or you go on the... I mean, it's just all so...
Sure. And when you have that much time together, connections are made.
Dude, that's where I started doing all my before YouTube stuff, really. Like, I met one of the tour guides, and that's, you know, Jeff Hutchinson. We started making videos... In the break room. We would make videos on our between tours, and then that just got me in that world of like, okay, I'm going to start doing this, and then YouTube hit, and it was, so it's like, there's the relationships that can really be formed back there, or not formed. a lot of characters. That's the benefit of working at a theme park.
Jeff is my birthday twin.
Is he really?
Same year, date, everything.
Wow.
But he still has all his hair. So he got the good side of it.
When you see a guy like Adam or a tour guide like making videos or doing stuff like that in the backstage, for you is that like, oh god, one of these, or are you excited for it?
That's what you're there for. I mean, that's the beauty of that job, is that you meet other people that have the same interests as you, and they're usually at the same level you are.
Yeah.
So it's like, hey, let's do this together, and everyone's up for doing it, right?
There's an energy of like, we could create something.
Yeah.
So that's
we're the
met.
Next thing.
Yeah.
So Graham and I met back there talking about game shows, and there was like a writer's strike around 2001, I think. And Graham said to me, he was like, you know, I think we could create one of our own. And so I said, okay, sure. So kind of just started playing around with this show, and we actually built a tiny little set out of like office equipment. And the guides would come off their breaks, and we kind of make them play it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, they were either being really nice, or it's that same just camaraderie of that's why you're all here. Mm-hmm. And they were encouraging, and they were like, this is great, you guys should do more. So we made like two other games that were actually based off of Hasbro board games, Battleship and Yahtzee. So we made game shows out of them. And everyone at Universal in the guide department started to know, like, oh, these guys are, this is kind of what they're into.
They're creating game shows.
Yeah. So one day, at the front of the park, we have this VIP lounge, and it's just a door off to the side, right? And one of our best friends, Jennifer Peterson, she was working the VIP lounge. And this guy comes and knocks on the door, and he goes, hey, you know, I'm an executive at NBC. I don't need tickets to the park, but what I need is some sort of pass to get me to the front of the lines because I have to be back at NBC for a meeting, and I have to show some people around. So she said, okay. So she closed the door, and luckily someone else was in the room, and they had just auditioned for The Weakest Link, mm-hmm. which was a big, you know, game show.
Yeah,
at the time
with the
on NBC.
With the British girl, yeah. You are and, the weakest link. Goodbye. Yeah. That one.
And this guy in the room goes, oh, that's the executive producer of The Weakest Link because I just auditioned for the show. So mm-hmm. that's what he does at NBC. And so Jen, God bless her, grabbed the pass, and she said, I'll give you this pass on one condition. And he said, what's that? And she said, if you take a meeting with my friends Chris and Graham, who are trying to get into the game show world,
wow.
Oh, I'll give you the pass.
Man, I always loved her. She's
the best. I mean,
you still keep in touch with her?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
God. I mean, she essentially...
Jen, if you're listening, and I hope you do, and you are, you're the greatest.
Yeah, oh, she is.
And I always kind of had a crush on her, too.
Oh, yeah.
She probably knows that.
Well, and we owe our career to her. Like, we would
That's
not
incredible.
Have a career.
So selfless.
If it wasn't for her.
Because in that meeting...
Yeah, and so... his name was Stuart Krasnow, and, mm-hmm. and Stuart's the nicest guy in Hollywood. And so he took the pass, and he said, absolutely, here's my card, have them call me. And so I think I called him like within like 2 hours, probably.
Of course. Yeah.
And, sure. You know, I explained, and he's like, yeah, come in and pitch your shows. So we went to Stuart's office with our tiny little sets that we built out of office supplies.
Now, is that something that's like a... How do you know that you have to do that in game show? Because I've heard
we don't. We just... ignorance is bliss.
Because Howie Mandel told us for like that they presented some whole thing for Deal or No Deal to him.
Yeah, the deck of cards. No, it was a deck of cards at Jerry's Deli, I think, that he bought into the show.
So, but you guys were like, we need to...
Yeah, we didn't know any elf. Yeah, you know, we were just
ignorance is bliss, I guess, right?
Yeah. So we just walk in with our little sets, and we're like, "Here's how it works." And we, you know, played it through. And he was like, "I think he saw that we knew what we were talking about." And he goes, "You know, I'm going to send you to the vice president of NBC Daytime." So that our second meeting ever was with the vice president of NBC Daytime.
You see, kids, it's that easy to get in the show business,
right? And so we're like, "Okay, sure." So. We go to her office, Linda Fennell, who's great, and I still get to see her every once in a while at the Emmys. And we go pitch Linda, and the first thing she says to us is, I shouldn't talk to you without an agent, right? And so that's always the catch-22 with like actors and
sure.
producers and directors. Like, you've got to have credits to get an agent, but you know, got to have an agent to get credits.
Yeah. Yes.
So, you know, she's like, I really shouldn't be talking to you, so that's my first piece of advice is get an agent.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, oh, great, you know, whatevs. So... we get this call from Stuart's office one day, a couple weeks later, I think, and he was being pursued by UTA at the time to come over and be a client of theirs. So UTA is pursuing Stuart, and as part of their pitch to Stuart, they say, you know, we rep Hasbro, and Hasbro wants to turn some of their board games into game shows.
And that's what you created.
Oh, and so Stuart...
God. Holy shit!
And so this is how great a guy Stuart is.
Yeah.
Stuart says to them, oh, you don't want to talk to me. You want to talk to these other two guys who have already done it.
Oh.
And so we get this call to go meet with UTA from Stuart's office. And we're like, okay. Like, and we knew to bring our Hasbro games.
Sure.
So we're like, okay. So we go to UTA and we kind of pitch them these games. Same little sets that we built out of office supplies. We're walking in. And... you know, we pitch them these games, and then they start pitching us on UTA. And they're like, you know, we're kind of where the cool kids are and like the new people on the block. And we're, you know, really excited to represent the young, you know, people in the industry. And we're like, great, good, congrats on that.
Yeah.
Like, whatever.
I used to play the oboe. Welcome back to Who Gives a Shit? Like, what are we talking about?
And so they, I don't even remember how it ended, but they were kind of like, asked, I think, if they could rep us or, you know, something. So all I know is Graham and I got in the elevator out of UTA and we looked at each other in the elevator and we're like, so do we have agents now? Like, did we just get agents?
Yeah,
that what just happened?
Yeah. So non like Hollywood.
Yeah.
So like, wait, do we have people now? Do we have people to call people?
Go back in and steal pencils?
Yeah.
So we're like, well, what do we do with that? Like, I don't even know what that is.
So funny.
And so anyway, so then, you know, UTA basically sends us on a meeting with this other big producer. His name is Andrew Golder, and he won an Emmy for doing When Ben Stein's Money.
Wow.
Brilliance behind that show. So funny with Kimmel and Ben Stein.
It was a great show, wasn't it?
The writing on that show is unbelievable, and especially coming from the game show world, it's unbelievable. So shout out to Andrew Golder and Terry McDonald, who taught us how to write.
Now, when you say writing, you mean the...
The Q&A, the questions, the categories on, like, go back and watch an episode.
Because obviously there's a lot of, I guess there's riffing between Stein and Kimmel, but like,
I don't think they wrote that, but.
But not a ton.
No, but look, just go watch an episode and watch the questions and categories.
Questions are clever.
Brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
So we go meet with Andrew, who's about to do a pilot of this other show, and he basically hires us and gives us our first job as writers for this pilot. That's how we learned to write for Game. And then we didn't do anything for a year, and that was the best thing about Universal, was that you know, you could take like up to 9 months off from your job and come back and still have your health benefits and still have your seniority and all that kind of stuff.
That really was the best.
They kind of just know that that's going to happen,
right?
That they're people. I mean, I don't know of too many people that dream of being a Universal, you know, they know that their employees have other aspirations, and if they're actors, they're in Hollywood, it's probably what they want to do.
Right.
So they might get gigs.
Yeah. So we were able to go do the pilot. We came back and nothing really happened for us for a year. That pilot didn't get picked up.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got this call from Stuart again, who's, you know, just kind of our angel. And he had signed an overall deal with Fremantle Media. And Fremantle, you know, if you don't know, is this giant company that does American Idol and America's Got Talent and
anything
X
good?
Factor.
Yeah. I mean,
anything worthy of
note? I mean, basically reinvented the talent show,
right?
With Idol. And Stuart signs an overall with Fremantle. He calls us and says, you know, Fremantle owns all the Mark Goodson, Bill Todman game shows, which are basically all the classic shows. So it's, you know, Price is Right and Family Feud and
Classic Concentration. Is that in there?
Yeah.
It's one of my favorites.
It's a long story, but no, actually NBC owns Concentration. We own part of it, which is weird. Yeah.
If you could bring that back, I'll host it for free.
Yeah. That's an NBC thing.
Okay.
But you know, he calls us and he's like, you know, they own this catalog. They want to reinvent some of these shows. So why don't you guys come over for like 2 weeks, go through the catalog, see what you think can be, you know, reinvented, and let's pitch them to Fremantle and see if they like any. So Graham and I went over for 2 weeks. I think we developed 3 or 4 shows. We ended up selling 2 of them. One went to a pilot for NBC Primetime. One went to a syndicated series that we did 175 episodes of or something.
Nice.
And our 2 weeks kind of kept getting extended by like 2 weeks and 2 weeks and 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And eventually, they didn't really have a development department at the time, so we kind of were on the ground floor of this development department.
Yeah.
And they wanted to keep us in development. And we said, oh no, like, hey, these shows that we've developed, we actually want to go do them, like in the studio.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, we want to produce them. And so we worked out a deal with them where we would be able to go produce the shows. And then when we were done producing, we would come back and develop new shows for them. And so now we've been doing that for 11 years.
What the fuck?
And now, now that's your job.
And so now that's our job.
Amazing.
And I mean, we literally went from just 2 guys that were fans of the genre and had no TV experience to working for this company that owns these classic titles.
Yeah.
And they were so great to us that they were just like, here are the keys to the kingdom, do what you want to do.
Oh my god.
And they trusted us with it.
How rare is that?
Super rare. Like, I don't, that's why when you said like, what's the path, like,
yeah,
that was like our path.
So, yeah, because you can't tell,
it's a long path, so yeah, sorry. Sorry for
no
that.
That's incredible.
If someone comes to you and says, hey, I'm looking to get into the producing of the game show business, you can't be like, okay, well, just do what we did.
Yeah.
like that, there was so many circumstances and people that don't exist, that people just stuck their necks out for you and thought of you when they didn't have to.
That's
so great.
There's so much. I mean, I just had a buddy who's just starting stand-up like email me a bunch of questions, and I'm sitting looking at this email today being like, how do I even begin to assess this? Because he's like, just started doing open mics for the last few months, and now, in more or less, he wants to kind of know like shortcuts. He's just like, how do I get to being, and I'm like, A, I can only speak from my experience, and But it's like, I mean, shit, with Universal, it's like if I, and you, same thing, like if you didn't just try to put yourself in a position to, like I knew even innately, like, all right, I don't want to wait tables and I want to do something when I work out here entertainment based because I want it to be fun, but I also want to be around people that are doing it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, whether that leads to anything or not, I just want to be around that energy. And I'm sure that had to go into some of the thinking of being there, right, for you?
Absolutely.
It's not like you did it with the, you know, prospects of like, all right, I'll meet somebody who will be cool and refer me to a game show, you know, developer.
And but, as a kid, like, I loved game shows, right? And same with Graham. Like, I grew up watching them. Like, that was my thing as a kid. But I never thought I could work in it. Like, it wasn't, that wasn't a job possibility in my head.
Yeah, it's a fantasy world.
Yeah.
It doesn't exist.
When he brought it up, I was like, oh, yeah, I guess you can have a job in that. Like, people do that for a living. So,
and if that conversation didn't go down, you don't even have that, right? Yeah. I mean, that's insane.
Not really. I don't really even have that thought. If Graham had suggested it, no.
Who? What were some of the shows as a kid that you really got the game show bug for?
My favorite game show is Joker's Wild.
I do remember that.
Yeah, I love game shows that combine luck and smarts.
Press Your Luck?
Love it.
Can we bring that back?
Our company owns that show.
Ooh. Shut up.
All right.
I mean, that's keep
gotta,
talking about.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's
got
to happen. Right. As long as you don't bring back the guy that figured out the algorithm.
Oh, yeah. Michael Larson.
Yeah.
He unfortunately, he's no longer with us.
Oh, okay.
Rest in peace, but also that's karma. But
by the way, have you seen that clip, Adam?
No.
There's a guy who figured out the timing on Press Your Luck.
He
figured out everything so he would never hit a whammy. Ever.
Well,
and he just kept going. And then finally the producer had to come out and be like, you've won too much money.
No, they didn't even do that. Like, they didn't.
They
couldn't stop him. That would be illegal.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
you can't stop the game mid-game.
No, he stopped himself because he was starting... He had done it so much that I think it was starting to get into his head, and he was starting to miss where the pattern was falling.
And then did he flip out on air?
No. But he, like, it stopped in a different spot, and he got scared because he was really only hitting, I think, two spots on the board, maybe three.
Yeah.
And when it didn't hit one of those, he kind of freaked out and passed his spins. But he won like $110,000 or something.
Yeah, it was.
They had to air it as a two-parter.
Yeah,
holy,
it was nuts.
Shit.
And because he figured out the algorithm, and he just wasn't doing, and he wasn't hitting any whammies ever.
Yeah. I remember watching that game as a kid. It combined every element I love.
It's the best.
Guessing, luck. Yeah. Cartoons, and money.
But everything is at risk on every single spin.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's why it's so exciting, because you think you could, like, oh, I just hit 5,000. Oh, you know.
Also, the way that it was framed, putting the contestant in the middle of all that, like, was aesthetically just delicious for a kid who was running out of Pop-Tarts.
Yeah, and then everyone does the same thing. They hover their hand over the buzzer. They go, big bucks, no whammies. Like, that's going
to
help.
They probably told them to say that, right?
Yeah, if you watch the early ones, it's they just hit that button fast.
Yeah.
And so eventually they would, you know, coach them into how to do it. But
I would love to bring... Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I can't tell you how... I'm a big Vegas guy, so I'm in Vegas a lot.
I'm going to be there for New Year's.
Oh, nice. It's like a sticky movie theater floor out on that strip.
It really is.
It's the grossest thing.
It really is. Why is it so great and gross?
But I go there a lot, and
you gamble.
Yeah, I gamble. I eat.
Yeah,
it's a great food town.
It really is.
Shows are great, you know. So I just go. Some people go to Palm Springs. I go to Vegas.
Yeah, they're 70. But
I feel like I'm more fun than Palm Springs. No offense to people in Palm Springs. It's a lovely town.
It is.
I've been there.
It's a lovely town if you want to play golf and tan. But if you want to actually go do some shit, then you go to Vegas.
Yeah.
And for me, like, the games are stimulating for what I do for a living,
yeah,
so I get
sure.
inspired by watching all the wheels spin and the
totally.
Lights flash and all that.
You really
kind of
do,
stuff.
Don't you?
Yeah, but I can't tell you how many times I walk through a casino, and you can just hear people at a roulette table or at a craps table, and they're like, "No whammies, no whammies!" And they,
oh my
and it's
god,
so,
it's
I'm
a
like,
part of the
lexicon.
Yeah, it's that generation that grew up on it now is the prime generation.
I would want it to be a little bit edgier. Like I would want.
What
it to
do you
be-
want the whammies to do?
Well, I mean, that's a personal question. Maybe that's part of the new game. If you get like a certain amount of money, you get to. They have a bunch of staple like cartoon whammy action set up.
Would
you
have? Would you have the whammy girls?
Whammy girls.
What would you want the whammy girls
they
to do to you?
They have a cartoon version of you and cartoon whammies.
Some guy's gonna call up the Moonlight Bunny Ranch and be like, "All right, I know you guys have done some weird shit, but I'm really into whammies."
I saw what they did to that guy on the TV show.
Yeah,
I want that live.
Yeah, can some girls dress up as a whammy?
But you never know. It might make a comeback. We You know, thank God for ABC this last summer, because Match Game, Pyramid,
oh,
Feud.
Yeah. Well, you did Pyramid too.
No, I didn't do Pyramid.
But they did that.
Feud is our company, it's Fremantle.
Yes.
Pyramid is through Sony.
Yeah.
And then Match Game is through us. And, you know, the guys over at ABC just took a gamble and said they're big game fans.
But they brought them back with the right hosts, you know, yeah. and they're games that people know, and like game shows, they're one of those things where sure you can have your Mad Men and your Breaking Bad and sort of the high end entertainment, but in the end they're just fun.
Yeah.
They're just fun shows that you don't realize you love, and then you start watching them and you're like, oh yeah, this is fuck. Like whenever I'm in the green room and I don't know what to watch, if I see a Family Feud episode,
oh yeah,
I'm watching that shit.
Oh yeah,
because you always argue with your friends. And game nights seem very lame when on the surface, but then when you start playing them, you're like, oh no, this is fucking great.
Well, look at like Hollywood Game Night when they have like all these celebs, they're playing those games for real.
Yeah.
They're basically like, oh cool, finally, like either they're like, I do this already in my life with game nights with friends, or you can tell some people like haven't played a game in a group setting in like years, and they're losing their fucking minds on this show. Maybe tell us, like, what do you think it is about just game shows in general that people...
Well, I think what ABC did right was, first of all, they took the risk, and they did it, and it paid off for them, because it's the perfect way to end the week. I know that sounds like an odd examination of it, but Sunday nights, when you're ready to start work the next day, and Game of Thrones isn't on anymore, and Mad Men's done, and... you kind of sit in with these game shows, and you're like, and especially Match being on at 10, you're like, oh, it's just nice to end with a laugh, and you go to bed, and then you're ready to start the week.
Totally.
And so they took a chance on these classic shows. They all worked. The whole block did fantastically well for them.
Match Game crushed?
Match Game crushed, yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah, thanks. It was a ton of fun to
do. I can't see that game going anywhere for a while. You know, with Baldwin, who to me is a home run in anything.
Yeah, well, he was the you know, key to it.
Top choice?
Yeah, he was fantastic.
Or was like, all right, Mario Lopez, Bonaducci, Baldwin.
What's Jericho doing?
Yeah.
But like, when you're sitting in the room, is Baldwin even, like, how does that even enter your head as an option? Because I would think
that he's not even available.
So that wasn't us. That wasn't Graham and I. So our CEO, she called us in and she was like, hey, what do you think of this? You know, what do you think of Alec Baldwin doing Match Game? And we were like, holy cow, like that could work. Like that.
Yeah. Did you have a frame for the host? Like he's got to be kind of.
To be honest, there are two shows we get asked about constantly. When are you bringing back Match Game? When are you bringing back Pressure Luck? Those are the two shows we get asked about the most.
I mean, hell, you got Baldwin. Could you do Anthony Hopkins hosting Pressure Luck?
Shut up. I want to do it.
We'd like Meryl Streep to be the voice of the whammy. That would be actually the...
I mean, guess what? Yeah. Now that you have Baldwin as the... like, nothing is impossible at this point.
People are like, wait, Baldwin's doing a game show? Like, it's the same way we got Melissa McCarthy in the podcast. And once you get people like that, it's like, well, if she did it...
Right.
Can I be honest? Tom Hanks doing Press Your Luck would be amazing.
Sure.
Is Jonathan Kite when you need him to do that for us? So, he does a great impression of Tom Hanks. That's why.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'd explain.
But no, we had actually resisted doing Match for a long time, and several attempts had been done to kind of relaunch it, and we weren't a part of those. And we kind of just kept saying, like, I don't know if it'll work, because the beauty of Match in the 70s was you couldn't say stuff on TV.
Yeah.
And so all the jokes were set up as double entendre, and you know, that was where the funny came from.
In order for a marriage to survive, you have to do this three times a week. Right. And it's like, watch a movie together.
Yeah.
But it's, finger each other's butts. Like, there's so... those questions are like perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We weren't sure it would work in today. So Graham and I personally kind of kept going like, I'm not sure it's for us, and I'm not sure we're the right guys to help this. And so when Jen, our CEO, said Baldwin, we were like, oh, like, I can actually see that. Like, I can get how he is going to deliver this, and it will be funny. And, you know, what we didn't know we were going to get from him, which I think personally is my favorite part about the show, is when he rips into the contestants and the celebrities for giving the worst answers.
Yeah.
He is hilarious.
And really edgy with it.
And by the way, he rips into the judges of the show too, which we just love. because
it breaks the fourth wall a little bit.
Yeah. And there's some, you know, match games, there's judging involved. That's how it works.
Yes. Sure.
You know, people are going to agree and disagree with stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But he has had some of the funniest lines about the judges. One of them was, there was like a technology-based question, and, you know, they answered one way, the contestants answered one way, and the celebrities answered another, and we deemed it not a match. And, you know, Baldwin goes, well, what you don't know is our three judges were former writers on the Carol Burnett Show. And we just lost it. Like, we totally lost it.
Oh, my
He's
God.
Brilliant. He's super funny, super nice guy.
And I'm sure, I'm sure he likes doing it. I'm sure you show up, you tape two episodes in a day.
Yeah, what is it?
3 days a week, and then you go home.
We did three. Yeah,
in a day?
We taped the whole season of Match over 4 days.
What?
Which I think was 10 episodes I think we did for the first season. So,
but you know, like, how perfect is that? Four days.
I don't know why more people don't want to do it.
Yeah.
Like,
and then that lasts you, now you're on TV for 3 months.
Yeah.
When we did, I don't know if you ever watched
you
Separation
have experience
Anxiety.
With this.
Did you ever watch any of it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We did three episodes a day
right.
for, 2 weeks. And that was exhausting because there were 3 hour, if not a little bit more, episodes each.
Were those episodes an hour or half hour? They were
hour.
Oh, they were hours?
Yeah.
Okay.
What'd you think of that game?
Fun. Look, you know, the... So
okay, but enough said.
We get it.
Yeah, we
you
get
run,
it.
Let's make a deal.
Yeah, okay.
We can't impress
wow.
you.
Wow. Okay.
First of all...
versus Adam Ray.
Here's what I said before the mics were turned on.
Yeah.
I'm so proud of you.
Oh, thanks.
Like, Graham and I both, like, follow you, and it's so great to see people that you worked with at Universal go off and build these careers, because it's not like you just landed this. Like, you
no
have
way,
been working
man.
Your butt off.
That was 13 years ago when you met
yeah.
me. And you, I mean, quite honestly, there's very few people that know me from, like, literally the second year I was in LA and
yeah.
that first job and just being, like, that tour guide stuff helped set up, you know, my podcast skill set and stand-up. I mean, I was, like, working out stand-up bits. I would do at open mics on my tour, which would get me in trouble because they were like, hey, tell the movie facts. Don't try to do, like, weird impressions that nobody cares about.
You're like, how dare you say no one cares about Tony Danza?
Yeah, yeah. I appreciate it.
But, like, we are friends, but
yeah.
we don't hang out constantly together. But over the course of those 13 years, like, I've randomly seen you at the Comedy Store.
Right.
And I've seen you
yeah.
build your career from, you know, opening for other people to,
right.
to being the headliner.
Right.
And it's been amazing. Like, and it's so great to watch and so proud of you.
You're the best.
Absolutely.
Thank
proud
you.
Of you.
And how was he as a tour guide, though?
I don't remember.
Oh, okay.
Do you block those years?
Obviously memorable.
He was. I'm
Very
sure he
good.
Was great. But
well, I mean, you guys, you train. I mean, the training.
Did I train you?
Yes.
Okay.
It was you, Rachel Pearson, and yeah. Randall. They mm-hmm. were my trainers. And basically, we would do each day, we would, for people who don't know, you would get these giant books, memorize it, and then you would do a different part of the tour each day. So, Brad, we would do like the. From Jaws to the yeah. the suspendable bridge that's mm-hmm. now something else, and then it would be like Earthquake to 6 Points Texas, and you would have like those chunks, and you would trade off. You'd go like five on a tram, and you would rotate doing it over and over again, and until. But then, quite honestly, it was like I don't know a couple weeks of that, or maybe less, and then all of a sudden it was like, all right, now just do the whole thing for people.
Yeah,
and it was definitely intimidating. But then,
was I a nice?
You were the best.
I was called the Simon Cowell of the trainers for a long time. Like, I was.
Yeah, but I feel like you and I are always.
I read that on the internet about you.
Because they.
I did.
For real?
It's on a message board.
When I was Googling, it was like, definitely the Simon Cowell of our
Cowell,
industry.
Yes, yeah.
Yes.
Of the Universal trainers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you yeah. were, I guess, a ball buster and kind of had an edge, but also, like, I think just innately being in comedy and, like, I also liked. That like it was like cool that you were like sarcastic. It was you were funny. It was like so
a lot
was,
of trainers would like sugarcoat stuff.
Yes.
Like, oh, you've got a wonderful smile, but by the way, you know nothing about Steven Spielberg.
Yeah.
And where I would just give it to you straight.
That's what I loved about it.
And I think I was just like, you know what? One of my
which
favorite-
was crazy as a gay man to give it to me straight. It was, but no,
that has to hurt you when you're like, this is really awkward, but I do have to give it to you straight. And by the way, screw my GPS for always telling me continue straight. I can't do it.
Were you there when we had the camp? Were you there for cameras?
Yes.
On the trams?
Oh, yeah.
So
the beginning of it.
Yeah. So I used to have this line that like before the camera, because I started before cameras
yeah.
came on. And, you know, so it was just audio and all the cars.
Sure. Now in the trams, there's a screen on
yeah.
you in every...
Yeah.
yeah.
Except for the front car. And, of
yeah.
course, everyone would see you talking in
yeah.
the front car. Well, so I would always have this line that, you know, I think if the people in the second, third, and fourth car that can't see you would think you're having a good time. But if I was up here looking at you, I know you were miserable. And, like, that would piss people off that I would call them out on that. But it was totally true. Like, yes. You can deliver something that's totally happy, and you can look like this, where you're just straight-faced and mean.
Yeah.
Right.
And, but there's a car full of people looking at you.
Yeah.
And then when the cameras came into play, it totally changed stuff.
Changed
it. You had to be on the whole time.
Yeah. There you go.
So, I don't know. I would just deliver it straight.
Did you... Yeah, I remember getting in trouble. It was Rachel who rode my tram once as a, you know, they'd have
evaluator.
Yeah, evaluator, but they wouldn't tell you. So I remember going through, I was making up these jokes.
She had a giant sun hat and a boa, and you couldn't, didn't recognize her. They wouldn't tell you.
I couldn't tell, and she gets off, and she was like, "Hey, super funny." And Rachel was just so cool. I'm like, "Hey, man, like, you know, it was really funny, but like, you're doing at one point, like, you did literally, I counted, it was like 9 minutes without any facts, and you were making like you did jokes and you did like a weird magic show. Then what? You acted like somebody dropped a purse, and you got off the tram and put on the Mission Impossible music and did a whole fucking sketch outside the tram. And she was like, "That was funny, but like." You know, you got to pepper in some movie stuff. And I was like, all right, fair enough. And thankfully, like, you know, again, like being cool about it, but also, you know, objective, like, hey, like you have to, we're not paying you to just further your stand-up career. You
that's why we've gotten along, I think, for so many years.
Totally.
Like, again, we don't see each other at Sunday brunch.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Maybe now.
Yeah, hey, maybe
Brad
now.
And I are looking for a new brunch
partner. For a new brunch partner?
Sure.
I've got Sundays off.
All right.
So, you know,
are you
I'm
a big brunch guy?
I like a good brunch.
Yeah.
I like a good brunch that I can have a mimosa at.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's the key. I mean, who cares about the eggs at that point?
It's you're just, not getting fucked up on a
we
Sunday.
We get it. Hollandaise sauce. You're not trying to reinvent the wheel here.
Maybe that's what we come dressed as. Two matching hollandaise sauces?
Apple smoked bacon. Who cares? Just give me a Bellini. Like it's... that's
was that your high school yearbook quote?
Who cares? I just give me a Bellini? Yeah.
Stay cool. Have a great summer. Who cares? Just give me a
tell you. Yeah, and I was gonna say it's my drag name, but I actually have a better drag name.
What's your drag name?
My drag name is Cabaret Sauvignon.
Wow,
wine.
Can I be mean, honest?
No, okay. No, great Cabaret, not right. Cabernet.
Oh, Cabaret.
See what I did there? I put the there's a you got so, okay. A real high level.
Okay, little,
is that a common
highfalutin drag name? I didn't know that. I didn't know this was going to be like the goat cheese of drag names.
It's probably why no one's taking it. still out there.
So Universal, I feel like, you know, the, I don't want to say the prep course or the like building ground for a lot of the creativity, but did you have other jobs before that or?
I didn't. So
when you came out here from San Fran.
Yeah.
Well, let's go back for a minute for. We all, everybody, about 10 minutes more?
Yeah.
In San Fran, what were you doing? What was life like for you
so,
there?
Yeah, San Jose.
Yeah, that's right.
Sharks. No, I was a performing arts kid, so yeah. I did theater from like 8 to 18.
Okay.
And that was kind
of... Was it hard being gay in theater?
I wasn't out then.
Ooh.
Like, you know, it wasn't a thing really then. Like, yeah. I think today's generation, it's fine and great, and that's great. But you know, I wasn't out till college. So
okay,
but did theater, did comedy sports, which was huge.
Yes, I did comedy sports.
Oh, love comedy sports.
It's the best thing ever.
Yeah, I love it. And now, of course, working with Wayne, like that. You know,
oh, that's he
master class.
Like,
oh man,
because like that's how you had to explain comedy sports to your friends to. Come watch the shows at night or at lunch or whatever. Like, no, it's like Who's Line, but we're just way less talented.
Yeah. Well, and Wayne's the Universal alum, too.
In the, what shows?
Wayne was in the Beetlejuice show.
Oh, my God.
So Wayne worked at Universal when Graham and I were there. So we all knew each other peripherally. Like, I think Wayne and I have talked about it. I think we've had so many friends in common we must have met at some point.
That's amazing.
But we were both there at the same time.
Wow.
So did comedy sports, then went to moved down here for college. But I was one of those kids, actually, that said, I want to be a Universal tour guide. Like, I came to the tour when I was probably, like, 10 or 11, 12.
That's great.
And loved it.
Yeah.
And it was like, you know, it's Universal City. And so at that time, I thought, like, oh, so this is a city I can live in. I can do this tour as my job.
You thought they, like, had apartments there and everything?
Yeah. Like, I was like, this is where I'm going to live. And that's what I'm going to do. So I moved. I was like, I want to do that job. And
that's
ended up
so
getting
great.
It. But went to school at Cal State Fullerton.
Hey, Titans.
Go Titans.
That's my hometown.
And I was a theater arts major.
Okay.
And then I realized about a year in that you did not need a degree to succeed in this industry.
No, you do not.
And so I told my parents, save your money. I'm going to work full-time at Universal. So I had started Universal summer of one college year, and then I dropped out of college and started working Universal full-time. Thank God I was able to pay the bills just from that job. But I was. I worked enough hours to actually...
Yeah, you did what you actually spoke. Yeah. Yeah. Me being there just in the summer, then I was like, okay.
You were still going to college, though, right?
Yes.
You were, yeah. You graduated.
Yeah. Barely.
You hung in there.
Yeah.
But
long,
yeah.
It's a long haul.
It was just Universal, and then this game show career.
Fuck.
And then... you know, people are going to listen to this and... Well, it's inspiring in the fact that, like, also, like, the luck and timing part of this business is so true and very apparent in your path. But also, you know, taking the risk to move down here from, you know, to, you have to, you know, put yourself in positions to create your own good luck, and taking the job Universal because, like we mentioned, like, be in the business and around it, right? I mean,
yeah, well, you know, Stuart, our mentor that I told you about earlier, he had the best line, because we always said, like, oh my God, we're so lucky, like, we are the luckiest guys to have Jennifer in that room and to have Stuart knock on the door and to have the guy in there that had an audition for The Weakest Link, to know who that, you know, we were so lucky. And Stuart always said to us, he's like, yeah, he's like, but you had to be ready for the luck.
Totally.
And he's like, and you guys were ready for the luck.
Luck is skill meets opportunity.
Yeah. So we were ready for the luck.
Sounds like a great name for a show. Yeah. And Tom Bergeron,
trademark you are... Chris and Graham 2016.
Yes! Hosted by quarterback Andrew Luck.
Oh, not a bad...
Come on!
Now, see, I know who that is.
There you go.
Well, I'm well-rounded. I'm a big sports guy.
Yeah, you are. That's right. You know Andrew
That's
Luck.
Another reason why we bonded. You just reminded me.
Yeah, well, you're a Seahawks fan.
Jesus, see?
I'm a Saints fan. Yep. So we're not rivals in that world. So we can root for each other, and it's fine. We're both NFC, but we don't hardly ever play each other.
No.
But, so I'm a big football fan, big hockey fan.
Yep.
My Sharks. Video game guy. I can change the oil in my car.
Jesus Christ. I mean,
you can do more than I can.
And now let's talk Broadway.
The sad part is I can talk with you more about Broadway than about changing the oil in your car.
Let me tell you, my favorite post last year on Facebook was every Broadway musical that was currently on Broadway.
Wow.
Because we were doing Match in New York, and not that I had a lot of time to see anything while we were doing that show, but I go to New York constantly. You know, Wayne was in Kinky Boots last year, and so got to go out for
Was
that.
He amazing?
Amazing.
I've actually seen that show.
You have to see him in it, and he's not doing it right now, but
he,
you know, you go to the show when a friend's in a show, and you're like, okay, I'm here to support my friend, and this is going to be great, and I know Wayne's a great performer, and so it's going to be good. But like, halfway through act one, I turned to Graham, and I was like, he's amazing. Like, he was so good. I was so proud of him,
and
too.
For people that don't realize, Kinky Boots, if Wayne played the part I think he played...
he's Lola.
He's Lola, so that's a drag queen. Like, Wayne was in full drag.
And he killed those boots.
And those are so not good. Easy boots.
Not easy boots.
No, my God.
Were they made for walking?
They're made for dancing.
Wow.
I hate you so much.
You know, and Broadway, too, it's like, to be an amazing improviser like he is, an actor, and host, I mean, it's like, Broadway is another beast. But you would look at, though, Wayne Brady and go, there's no reason why you shouldn't be amazing at this, but
he's amazing at every, like, he's literally one of those guys you're like, all right, fine, so now he's gonna do pottery, great, you
know, and he's gonna be fucking amazing at it.
All right, that's gonna end up in the Guggenheim, you know.
Did you ever see him on Chappelle Show?
I've seen the famous clip.
Now, so that's got to be a total, I mean, to Comedy Sports and then to be working with him on the, and he definitely gets moments to be very Wayne Brady and funny on the show.
Yeah, if you haven't seen Deal, like, we're the only we keep thinking, we try to find other shows to compare ourselves to, because, we're a game show, but we're not really a game show. We're kind of like a variety show.
Because
we sing, we dance, we do bits, like, we do characters.
The audience is way more involved. I mean,
we break the fourth wall constantly, which is why you see me on the show.
Yeah.
And other crew members, too, by the way. We've got other crew members that pop up, you know, a lot.
And then even the classic Zonk prizes from Let's Make a Deal in the past, where it's like, all right, you win a 2-ton bag of sand. You guys go above and beyond.
Jersey, who does all of our props on the show, great guy.
Right. I saw like a VW van recently that was dressed up as like a Chinese dragon, but there's some. Yeah. It was.
It's a monster van.
Yeah, it's a monster van, and someone won that.
Our favorite Zonk this year, I think, has been the Hot Rod Recliner. So it's a recliner that is a hot rod that really moves, like, because Wayne loves driving these things. So yeah. That I know that's been his favorite this season. Was the Hot Rod Recliner.
If I was a contestant and I got the Hot Rod Recliner, I'd be like, how is this a bad thing? People, this looks amazing to me.
People want to keep the Zonks all that. I'm always amazed. I'm like, you guys, you don't understand how large these things are. You can't take them home. Like, you can't have them.
Like the dragon van.
The dragon car. Yeah, that's amazing.
Right.
Yeah.
Not going to the overhead storage bin.
No. But so on Deal, we evolved from this show that, you know, started season one as just kind of our version of Monty's show, you know, classic show in the 60s and 70s. And then we started looking at Wayne and what Wayne brought to the table, and obviously that's what we wanted to capitalize on.
Sure, when you have a resource like that, and you know he can improvise and you know he can do what he can do, it's like, why would you limit him to just asking questions?
Yeah.
And the best part of Deal is there is no format. Like, we're not Price is Right. Price is Right has to do 3 pricing games, spin the wheel, another 3, spin the wheel, and do a showcase.
Yeah.
We don't have to do anything. All we have to do is at the end of the show, we've got to do the big deal and, you know, pick a door. That's all we have to do. So the rest of the show is kind of up to us. So, you know, we went through a period of trying out a lot of stuff, and a lot of stuff failed, and a lot of stuff was great. But, I mean, we had a bit called Wayne's Hair Salon, where, like, you know, him and Jonathan threw on wigs, and it was like female, you know, hairstylists gossiping with the contestants about what prizes were behind the curtains.
That's so great.
You know, we did all these crazy things.
Utilizing what you like, also getting the most out of your talent, right?
Well, plus it's an hour show. Like, Monty's show is a half hour.
Yeah.
And that was great, but for an hour show, there's only so much box, curtain, envelope you can do, and then you're like, I get it. It's choose this or choose that.
And how great is it that you are in an environment to where you can do that? Because I would think that would be the bad part about being a game show host, is that it just gets so repetitive, and you're doing the same thing every day. Right. You guys don't have that.
We are
no show is like the show before.
Completely different show from top to bottom every day.
Yeah.
And people don't get it. And it's you know, I had some friends that work in scripted TV come to the show last year, and they were like, I can't believe you guys do this once, but 3 times a day. 3 completely different shows every day, top to bottom. And you guys will see when you come. It is an amazing thing to watch.
I can't fucking wait.
Because it's not, we're not Jeopardy, we're not Wheel, you're not just putting a new puzzle on the board, or you're not just putting new questions on the board and doing the whole thing again. We are completely different. And whatever Wayne wants to do, Wayne does. Mm-hmm. And the crew and staff of the show have become great improvisers. Because
you kind of have to be, because he can throw to you at any time.
Yeah. But he, you know, he'll start talking to a contestant, and he might say something about, I remember when I went to Mexico and there was this great guitar player on the beach. Well, our prop department is literally throwing open boxes to find a guitar and a sombrero for him to put on. Like, as he's talking.
Holy crap.
And
prop
that's,
department's got to improvise.
Oh, my, our prop department is amazing. Do they love the show?
That's got to be fun for them, though, right? I mean,
it's stressful, but it's fun.
Of course.
Yeah. But they are amazing. And
where do I get a box of Wheat Thins that we can turn into a game of Monopoly? Like,
literally. I mean, he will say something odd, like, you know, my favorite cereal is when I mix, you know, Cocoa Puffs with
Cookie Crisp.
Yeah. And so they might not have it that day, but they'll get it that night.
Wow.
And then the next time he mentions cereal, they will have a bowl mixed with Cocoa Crisp and Cocoa Puffs and Cookie Crisp for him to bring out.
All right. Not for nothing. That's a damn good idea.
Yeah. My inner fat kid just got real hard.
It's an amazing, amazing show to work on and to experience. So I'm excited to have you guys come.
It's so, I mean, it's there's just so much you don't know. I mean, and that's what I was telling Brad, too, and how pumped he was when I was giving him your background. And it was like, we love game shows so much, and there's so much behind the scenes that 7, 8, 9% of everybody that just doesn't. It's like working at Universal Studios when I would tell people these stories about, like, you know, seeing a guy dressed as Shrek and a guy dressed as Spider-Man getting in an argument, offset. Like, there's so much other shit that happens that you don't know, and especially in the game show world, everyone's interested about it, which is, I mean, so to get to hear some of this and now go see it and get to see the inner workings is going to be pretty
special. Well, tour you guys around, you can see all the Zonks and, you know, the nice stuff. But no, it's amazing. And just to show you how the two worlds came together, just this last week, we had some sort of technical issue on the show, and so we were waiting for a lighting board to be reset or something, and Wayne and Graham and I were backstage, and we were waiting, and it's a pretty lengthy wait for us, which is about 10 minutes, but that's long. And so Graham and I literally just started into launching on a Steven Spielberg stall that we have learned at Universal, and we just kind of tag teamed it. So I would throw him. I would say hey Graham, do you know that Steven Spielberg started his career really here on the Universal tour? And then Graham would take it over and throw out the next fact. And Wayne was just sitting between us, and he was just like ping-ponging his head back and forth, and he was like, "This is amazing." He's like, "But we remember this stuff. I'm sure you must remember something."
Yeah, it's all muscle memory.
Yeah,
I just took the cast of Mad TV on to Universal. We did a private tour with Jeff, and
that's awesome.
He let me get up at one point to do the the fake river.
Yeah.
Where it was like a clip from Big Fat
Seas?
Liar. Was that
Parting of the Red Seas?
No,
False Lake.
No,
Big Fat Liar with Frankie Muniz and Paul Giamatti.
Yeah, the flash flood.
Flood.
Yeah, and I got up there and I started doing it, and I was a little drunk and a little high, and I'm doing it, and so they, and I was like, oh, this is a cool place. They film a lot of movies here, and I think Paul Giamatti was here once. You remember that scene when he was like, I'm not gonna drink the Merlot, and that might be a different movie, but he was here anyway. here comes some water. Oh, look out! Splish splash! I was taking a bath. And I remember walking back and everybody clapping. It was being goofy, and there was and one of my buddies goes, hey, this couple in front of you when you were doing it was like, see, not that easy. Like, thought I was like really thought I was really trying. Because we've been making jokes all the time, and I don't think they were really having it. But I definitely got up there, and I was like, it definitely is a muscle memory thing. And also, parts come back to you. There are certain jokes that I can't remember.
Sure.
But
I'm pretty confident you could hop on a tram, and I probably could too, and do a whole tour. And you could fake your way through it. Like
think so.
You would have.
I would love to do that.
Like you might have faked your way through it earlier. Yeah. But,
I want to get crazy famous to that's for one of those reasons where when they had Conan go do the when they were shooting
right.
do the tour.
Yeah.
He would do the tour guide
to where it could actually be.
And then they had stories like Jim Carrey would come out in the Grinch makeup and actually scare the trams. Like
we
that's,
had that.
That's
oh yeah.
On,
yeah.
Do you remember when Backdraft was there?
Yes.
Yeah, Backdraft was down on what we call the lower lot, so it was by the sound stages. I remember Bruce Willis was taping, I think, Mercury Rising. I don't even know why I remember that. But I remember him coming by in a golf cart, and he was like all bloodied with makeup, and he was just like laying halfway out of the golf cart, and like a PA was driving him around, and he looked like a dead body, like hanging out of the golf cart. Like, people have fun there. It's great.
It's just fun.
We keep pitching a story about Wayne and Graham and I going back to Universal for some outlet like Entertainment Tonight or something.
Oh, you've got to.
Wayne can go perform Blues Brothers or something, because he used to do Blues Brothers.
Oh,
and have
perfect.
Graham and I give a tour. But
you 1,000% should.
Oh my God, it would be so much fun.
By the way, Backdraft real quick. What a shitty ride.
Well, it wasn't a ride. It was a show.
You stand there and things burn around you.
No,
but you were in a room that exploded.
I guess. Did it really though?
Well, the front of it did.
Yeah. And then I guess it got real hot. Yeah. So you're supposed to be like,
real hot.
Imagine, real hot, depending on, how drunk the tourist from Wisconsin was next to you. She let a couple straps drop.
Yeah, now it's the Mummy Coaster. I think it's a little better.
Yeah. Well, it's Transformers. Mummy,
see, there you go.
Yeah.
Much better.
What a geek am I. my favorite part about Backdraft was when the guides would complain about doing it. And it was like literally 2 seconds. He would be like, ladies and gentlemen, here's Ron Howard to talk about Backdraft. You push a button and go
Ron Howard.
A room.
You know what? We got up to degrees at 400 degrees.
Yeah.
What is a Backdraft?
Is that
fire that burns out all the oxygen in the room.
Oh, wow.
I think that's how it goes.
There was a Baldwin in that movie.
There was a Baldwin in that movie.
I mean, I think that's your next game show. Was there a Baldwin in that movie? Beetlejuice. Was there a Baldwin in that movie?
Serendipity.
Right?
That's a Cusack.
I'll think about it.
There's enough Baldwins.
There are enough Baldwins.
I mean, we have to wrap this up, and you're going to have to come back when we have Jericho.
Or
anytime, because there's endless conversation.
And my last question is, when Adam and I go, to this taping of Let's Make a Deal.
Which, by the way, we're going to.
Yes.
And then we're going to have Wayne Brady on the podcast, which you're the man.
He'll be more entertaining than me.
Oh, my God. You're incredible.
Can I be a Zonk prize? Can the curtains open up and then I come out and maybe a big hat and then just say, all right, you win comedian
Chris,
Brad Williams.
That's a great idea.
We can think about
Or
maybe I'm riding a pony.
So here's a,
my God! Now my fantasies are coming true.
here's a little known fact, because we never aired the pilot, but for the pilot of Deal that we did, one of our zonks was a sumo wrestler. So we opened the box or whatever, and it was a giant sumo wrestler, and he came out and he took the contestant and like flung her over her shoulder and like walked off stage with her. Perfect. We got away from living zonks.
I mean, how many years has it been?
It's been 8.
Hey, sounds like
bring them back.
Sounds like you're in an 8-year no dwarf slump.
I'll hook you up with Jersey, and you guys can talk about it.
Well, yeah, please. Like but sumo wrestler. But come on, dwarf zonk,
dwarf on pony.
Which,
say no to that twice.
By the way, zonk sounds like the name everyone thinks dwarves are named.
Like, it's the noise you make when you fall off the pony and
sure,
you'll come.
Sure.
Now. Is this something we're gonna have to discuss the day of, or can you do a light pitch?
Oh, it won't happen the day you're there.
Okay,
I'm sorry to break those.
All right, maybe
now.
Next season.
But yes, maybe next season.
There's a next season, right?
We have not got our pickup yet for next season.
You will.
It's a staple of
American culture.
I mean,
the show, Wayne Brady, your costume.
If you need to push them in the right direction, say, hey guys, next season we're gonna have dwarf songs.
Well, I'm assuming our ratings are gonna skyrocket after this hit.
But yes,
they will skyrocket.
Yes.
So I'm looking forward to that.
Badass. Oh, well, we're definitely looking forward to seeing the show, and thank you so much.
Thanks for doing this.
Absolutely.
Have you done a podcast before?
I think I did one.
Okay.
But who knows?
Who knows?
This by far has been my favorite one.
This is the best.
Goddamn right.
With peach whiskey.
To meet you, because it's the first time we've met.
Sure.
You seem like we've been friends for years.
Just to see you.
Lifelong
friend. Is great.
This is the best.
So.
All right. Let's Make a Deal is on...
CBS weekdays, Monday through Friday.
At what time?
You know, we actually air at different times in different markets. So most of the country, I think, we're on at 9. We're on right before price. Sometimes we're on after price.
Do the people who watch it know what the internet is?
They do know what the internet is.
Okay, good. Okay.
They do, because we're the number one game show on Twitter.
Hey.
Whoa.
There you go.
All right. Brad, we need to tweet during the show.
Yes,
should we live tweet during the show?
Fuck yeah, we will. So much anger in that response.
That
yeah, we will.
Very angry.
Tune in next year for Dwarf Zonks.
Like somebody told you someday, you'll never tweet during a taping of Let's Make a Deal.
Oh, I'll show you. Son of a bitch.
But yeah, you'll come, you'll have a good time, you'll see. And
all right, well, don't tell me how to live my life, but I'm definitely going to show up.
You're going to come, you're going to have a good time. That's what's going to happen.
Sounds like every day for Adam.
Yeah.
Good night, everybody.
So, that's the show. Thanks for tuning in. We had laughs and stories. Now go listen to more episodes on iTunes or your phone. Subscribe and tell your family and everyone you know.
But what should I tell them? Well, you can just tell them that
Brad Williams and Adam Ray can help you get through the fucking day. Just follow us on Twitter at Funny Brad, and I'm at Adam Ray Comedy. This has been the About Last Night podcast. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's me, Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessamay Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.